Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Stolen Wealth of Slavery: A Case for Reparations by David Montero is an investigative history focused on the financial legacy of American slavery and the argument for reparations. Rather than treating slavery only as a moral catastrophe or a Southern institution, the book traces how enslaved black labor generated wealth that moved through banks, shipping firms, insurers, and commercial networks, especially in the North. Montero examines how that capital helped shape later industrial growth and modern corporate power, making the book both a historical account and a contemporary policy intervention. With a foreword by Michael Eric Dyson, it is positioned within the reparations debate but distinguishes itself through its emphasis on economic tracing and corporate accountability. The book is aimed at readers who want a documented, data-driven explanation of how slavery created durable wealth and why that wealth remains relevant to present-day inequality. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, tracing slavery as a financial system, not only a labor system. A central contribution of the book is its insistence that slavery functioned as an organized financial system with measurable gains, not simply as an inhumane labor regime. Montero follows the movement of money from plantations into commercial institutions that profited from enslaved labor, showing how the economic value of bondage extended far beyond the individuals who directly owned enslaved people. This framing matters because it shifts the conversation from isolated acts of cruelty to a broader structure of extraction. By treating slavery as a capital-producing enterprise, the book explains why its effects were not limited to the antebellum South. The argument also helps readers understand why reparations are presented as a financial and historical remedy, not only a symbolic one. In this view, the theft was systemic, and the demand for repair must address the scale of the system that produced it. Secondly, Northern banks and corporations as major beneficiaries of slavery. The book challenges the familiar narrative that slavery was mainly a Southern wrongdoing, with little direct Northern involvement. Montero argues that major Northern banks and business interests helped finance slavery and benefited from it through lending, insurance, shipping, and trade. This is one of the book's most important analytical moves because it widens responsibility beyond plantation owners and shows how slavery was integrated into national capitalism. The implication is that many institutions later associated with modern respectability and growth had roots in bondage-based profits. That broader geography of complicity also helps explain why wealth generated by slavery did not vanish with emancipation. It was absorbed into business infrastructure, allowing profits from human exploitation to be converted into lasting institutional capital. The book therefore makes corporate history part of the story of racial injustice, not a separate topic. Thirdly, how stolen wealth helped finance American industrial growth. Another major theme is the afterlife of slavery-derived wealth after the Civil War. Montero argues that profits created through enslavement did not simply disappear with abolition. Instead, they were redirected into industrial expansion, commercial development, and the rise of modern corporations. This line of analysis matters because it connects slavery to the later formation of American economic power, suggesting continuity rather than rupture. The book shows how wealth accumulated through exploitation became embedded in institutions that helped build railroads, factories, finance networks, and other pillars of modernization. That continuity strengthens the reparations case because it links past theft to present advantage. It also complicates the idea that slavery belongs only to a distant moral past, in Montero's account. The prosperity of later generations and institutions was partly built on wealth extracted from enslaved people, making modern inequality partly legible as an inherited structure rather than a random outcome. Fourthly, reparations as a claim for identified theft and institutional accountability, the book is not only descriptive, it is explicitly argumentative about reparations. Montero's approach is to identify what was stolen, who benefited, and who remains owed, turning reparations into a concrete question of accounting and responsibility. That method gives the book practical force because it frames repair as a response to documented harm rather than as an abstract political gesture. The focus on corporate reparations is especially significant. Instead of treating accountability as a matter for government alone, the book asks whether companies whose histories are tied to slavery should play a role in repair. This expands the reparations conversation into the realm of private institutions, where much of the wealth accumulation actually occurred. The result is a more targeted and institutional argument if specific entities profited from stolen labor. Then those entities have a defensible obligation to contribute to remedying the damage. Lastly, reframing national memory through historical audit and public evidence, Montero's journalistic method is another defining feature of the book. Rather than relying on broad moral assertion, he performs a historical audit, assembling evidence across eras and institutions to reconstruct how slavery-generated wealth moved through the American economy. That method gives the book credibility in policy and public debate because it does not ask readers to accept reparations on faith. Instead, it builds a case from documentation and financial history. This approach also changes how national memory works. The book contests the tendency to isolate slavery as a regional or vanished wrong and instead places it at the center of American development. By doing so, it invites readers to rethink familiar institutions, from banks to corporations, as part of a longer history of racialized extraction. The book's public value lies in this reframing. It equips readers with a structure for understanding slavery as an economic inheritance that still shapes the present. In conclusion, this book will be most valuable to readers interested in American history, racial justice, economic inequality, corporate accountability, and the reparations debate. It offers more than a general moral argument. By attempting to trace the flow of slavery-derived wealth through recognizable institutions and across historical periods. That makes it useful for students, educators, advocates, policymakers, and general readers who want a historically grounded explanation of why reparations remain a live issue. Its main strength is its investigative method. It treats slavery as an economic system whose profits were transferred, preserved, and institutionalized rather than erased. Compared with many books on slavery or reparations, it stands out for focusing on the financial architecture of exploitation and for extending accountability beyond the plantation South to banks and corporations. Readers looking for a concise political slogan will not find that here. Readers looking for a documented framework for understanding historical theft and present-day wealth inequality will find the book especially relevant. It is distinctive because it connects moral history to institutional economics in a concrete, traceable way. If you would like to support David Montero, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.